last week at the annual meeting, I mentioned four characteristics that I'd like to see us strengthen in our ministry together. One of them is courage, the ability to act, even when it's inconvenient or out of our comfort zone. One is honor, to be a part of a greater task. One is loyalty, commitment to each other, to our families, to God. One is decency, doing the right and kind things. Today we're going to look at an example of failed courage. Scripture has as many examples of failed courage, probably more so than it does of real courage. There are indeed some examples of courage found all throughout the Scripture. But I think we may learn a little bit more from the examples of failed courage. Courage is the ability to act in spite of our fears and doubts. The ability to do the right thing when everyone around us wants us to do wrong. We had a governor of one of our 50 states this week say that we ought to be able to kill babies even after they're born. Not just during the whole 9 months of the pregnancy, but even after they're born. And there needs to be some folks with courage to disagree with that and say that life is sacred. Several of our states are passing legislation to allow us to kill the old sick people. And the older I get, the more I think that's a bad idea. And I really hope they don't come after the fat people. Because I'd be first in line. Courage to do the right thing. If you're interested, both of the letters I received from the town of Sarita Clerk are posted on the bulletin board outside behind the coffee pot. I told you that I thought that we ought to have freedom of religion, that if they lost their freedom to have their religion, we would lose ours. That is indeed what happened. So now instead of being able to address the town council twice a year like I've been doing for the past 10 years, I no longer have that opportunity. Because folks screamed and cried and said, we don't want that one particular group, we want to censor their speech based on their religious content. We disagree with it, so we want to censor it. Well, guess what? We all lost out of that. Because now the town council will no longer have a local minister meeting with them every month and building the relationships and sharing with them like we used to. And I think that's a loss. And some of you disagree with me on that. That's okay. Courage is sometimes saying what you think the Bible teaches, whether people agree with you or not. And I think that historically Baptists have always stood for religious liberty. I think it should not have taken a Supreme Court case to have conscientious objector laws. But if you saw in the movie about Dustin, whatever his name was, the first non-combatant to win the Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor, stirring, moving biopic of a real man's life. But because of his religious beliefs, he did not want to carry a gun. But yet, he saved more lives at great, tremendous risk. And it took a court case for him to get there. You see, religious freedom is important. And if one person loses it, we all lose it. And we need to not lose sight of that. If their ideas are so abhorrent, then let's get them out in the public square where we can publicly humiliate them for them, their ideas. Let's not hide them away because we are too insecure to disagree with someone publicly. See, courage is important in today's society. It's important in who we are. And today we're going to be looking at a man who lost courage at a significant moment. I mean, looking at Peter. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter says, me too, me too, me too. And Jesus says, come on. And it went fine until Peter went splash. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. This is immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? Significant event. One of the only three or four of the events in Jesus' life that were mentioned in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. Tremendously significant, the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately after that, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side, that's the other side of the lake, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Anybody here ever known an agreeable wind? I've seen some agreeable breezes, but I've never known an agreeable wind. I've seen some contrary winds. I understand that. And the fourth watch of the night, that's late. First watch is early evening. Second watch usually goes up to midnight. Third watch is, you know, right after midnight. And the fourth watch is, you know, where the sun's coming up. So it's late. Fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. That'd been so cool to watch. Would love to have seen that. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Okay, you know, I can understand that. You ever been on a little bitty boat in the middle of a bad storm? Okay. And you know, I don't care how professional you are. When you're at the bottom and all you can see is water on both sides because you're at the trough of the waves, that's a scary thing. They cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Do you think all of their fear instantly eased as soon as he said, "Don't be afraid"? I know mine wouldn't. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Up to this point, Peter is the bravest one there. Out of the whole 12, he is the bravest one. Because none of the rest of the 11 are out on that water. They may be waiting to see Peter drown, but they ain't none of the rest of the 11 out there. But seeing the wind. Can you see the wind? You can see what the wind does. You can see the effects of the wind. That old Peter saw all kinds of stuff that wind could do. Do you understand what happens here? What Peter sees is not an actual physical thing. He sees all of his fears on what the wind can do. You don't see wind. You can see trees knocked over, branches broken, roof shingles coming off. You don't see the wind. Seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, and I want you to recognize how that had to have happened. Where's Peter? Okay. At most, Jesus is holding them by the hand. Okay? We're talking a big, burly fisherman holding on to Jesus' hands like a five-year-old at the mall. At worst, carrying him. I can see the fireman's carry now, you know. Just. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, we read that whole passage, and what strikes us? What strikes us is that few minutes of Jesus and the guys at the boat interacting with one another. But what you fail to recognize, especially at first, is that courage requires time alone with God. What did he do? He sent the disciples on a boat, so if they go away and leave them alone, quit asking questions, sometimes stupid questions, because that's the kind of questions they asked. He sent the crowds away. He just fed them. And he went out in the mountain. And he prayed. And he spent time alone with God. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had to spend time alone with God in order to do great things with God, how can we expect to handle even the mediocre stuff without time alone with God? Jesus spent time with God. Yet every time we mention, "I'm going to go spend some time alone with God," everybody looks at us like we're crazy. Here's somebody say, "I'm going to take 2 days off of work so I can go be by myself and talk with the Father." They're going to go, "You're going to take time off for what?" "Make an appointment with you with it." What? They don't question fishing. You could say, "I'm going to go and have a drunken party," and they'll get time off from work for it. "It's my birthday." But you say, "I'm going to go spend time alone with God." And they wonder if you've lost your mind. You know, we need to make time with God. Maybe one of the reasons we struggle with insecurity and fears and have trouble seeing the strength of God, because all we can see is our fears, is because we haven't spent time talking to God about it. Time alone with God. We need to make the time to be alone with God. If you say, "I've never done that before," then probably best not start with a 2-day time stretch. Best start with 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes, grab you one of the Open Windows books, read the devotional, read the scripture passage, and then pray. And get to where that's a daily habit. You know, when I was growing up, my mom and dad taught me to brush my teeth. Made sure that I knew how to do it. I used to get the question, "Did you brush your teeth?" Get ready for school, get ready for school. Mom would say, "Did you brush your teeth?" If I said, "What teeth?" She would send me back into the bathroom to brush my teeth. Every day. Sometimes on Saturdays, she didn't ask. So I didn't brush my teeth on Saturdays because she didn't ask. Okay. Then they moved to Australia and I lived in an apartment all by myself, and sometimes I forgot to brush my teeth. Till I get to school and start talking to somebody and they kind of turn away and groan. And I went, "Oh yeah, I'm supposed to take care of that." And then I got married. She wouldn't kiss me unless I brushed my teeth. Guess what? I don't have to be reminded anymore. That habit was built in and ingrained. Why? Because someone checked with me every day. If you're struggling to have time alone with God, find somebody who you like and who trusts you and who's not going to give you a hard time and who wants to help you, and have them ask you every time they see you, are you having your time alone with God? You've got to be careful who you choose to ask you stuff like that. Some people get off on, you know, have you been spiritual this week? You don't want one of them kind. But find somebody who will help love you into building a habit to do the right thing. Maybe somebody can work together with it. Saying, hey, what'd you do when you talked to God this week? And start building that daily time where you and the Father spend time together and God hears you and you hear God. And as you build that together, you'll find there's a sense of courage that comes because you and God were together. And the next time something comes up that scares you, you start understanding what it means to have God dwelling in you and giving you courage because you spent time with Him. You ever watch the families where one of the spouses is in the military and they go away on a 6-month deployment? You know, those are always interesting when they come back. In Yuma, when the groups have come back from deployment, they literally would give every mental health professional and counselor and pastor in town a notice that this group is coming back from deployment in the next few days. Be aware and alert for folks who are having trouble readjusting, having someone back in the house. Because all of a sudden, Marine Corps gunnery officer that's been in charge of everything for 6 months comes back home and finds out his wife's been in charge of everything and his kids don't always mind him like the little Marines do. And sometimes it's a problem. Because they're not used to spending time with each other. And that happens when we get out of the habit of spending time with God. We're not used to spending time with each other. And we have to reacquaint ourselves. And so we're going to take a little bit and start small and let God build it as He sees time. I've had people ask me, what can I do for the church? Seriously? If you spent an hour in prayer each day praying for the church, I guarantee you God would answer our prayer. And it would make a difference. Courage requires time alone with God. And then what happens is somehow we have to expect God to live in the supernatural. You see what He's doing? He was walking on the water. He wasn't walking on the concrete steps under the water. He was suspending the physical laws of the universe to do something miraculous. Because that's what God does. And yet, God answers prayer and we act like we're surprised. The story has been told for years about the Oklahoma Dust Bowl where they kept praying and have church prayer meetings for rain. And one little girl asked, how come nobody brought an umbrella if they're asking God for rain? Lou brought an umbrella because it's already raining. But if you're going to pray and ask God for rain, then you better expect to get wet. If you're going to pray and ask God to grow a church, then you better expect to see new people and not get surprised and upset when they're there. We need to expect God to live in the supernatural, where God is doing miracles, where God is changing lives, where God is making things different, where old habits are being put away and new habits are coming because God lives in the supernatural. You know, we have enough naysayers. Every time we say we're going to do something, we've got enough folks that are going to tell us why that's a bad idea. You know, We say we're going to give people a bunch of food, and they start telling us about the one time that they gave food to somebody and it turned out bad. You know what? Fool me on all of them. We need to expect God to live in the supernatural, for God to be doing miraculous things. Every time God has taken a small group of people and melded them together in belief and in power, God has done great things. With 12 men, He changed the course of the world, broke down the Roman Empire, and changed the course of human history. God's in the miracle working business. Martin Luther wakes up one day and says, you know, I don't agree with everything we're doing. Let's talk about it. They said, we ain't going to talk about it. We're going to excommunicate you. He said, okay, here I'm going to put 95 things I want to talk about and nail it to the church door. The history of Europe changed with the Protestant Reformation. And countries were born and birthed because Martin Luther had some questions they wouldn't answer for him. God does miracles. And we need to expect God to live in the supernatural. He said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then why are my knees knocking so bad? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And we need to look to Jesus, not the challenges. Seeing the wind, he became frightened. Peter started out walking on the water. He got several steps away from the boat, but then his focus shifted. He saw the wind. Not because he saw it with his eyes. Because you can't see the wind with your eyes. You see what the wind does, but you can't see what the wind is. He saw it in his mind, his imagination. All of the things that he could imagine would go wrong started filling his vision. And he could no longer look at Jesus because all he looked at were the images in his mind of all the stuff that could go wrong. Everything goes wrong. But if you keep your focus on Jesus, your mind's eye doesn't cripple you. He saw the wind, and it so filled his vision he could no longer look at Jesus. You know, you really have to look hard. You have to try to see the wind. All you had to do is keep looking at Jesus. He walked out to Jesus and they'd walked out together. It's a pretty good thing to walk with God. Enoch did it, never came home. He walked with God. Moses walked with God. And his face shone so much he scared everybody to pieces. They made him put a bag over his head so he wouldn't scare them, because he walked with God. Daniel walked with God through the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked with God through the fiery furnace. Paul walked with God all the way to Rome, in and out of jail. He changed the world by his ministry. Keep your focus on Jesus, and you can walk with God. Look to Jesus, not the challenges. Somebody says, well, you're just not thinking things through. I don't want to sink either, son. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, not the challenges. He says that as I take courage, do not be afraid. If we don't have faith in ourselves, and quite frankly, sometimes we shouldn't have faith in ourselves, we can have faith in God. And we can look to God and trust God. Take courage. It is available. You've got those two or three things you know God wants you to do. But you've given excuse after excuse after excuse, reason after reason after reason why it can't happen. Because we're looking at the wind. We're not looking at Jesus. Take courage and do what He asks you to do. So we pray together. Father, please hear our prayer. Please turn our timidity into courage, our fearfulness into strength. Clarify our vision that we may see You and boldly stand for You. Help us to be men and women of courage that pray, that share, that give, that care. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.